All right, folks, we are in Hebrews. So let's turn there to Hebrews chapter 2. Where we have a marvelous passage here in front of us. I've entitled it, The Dominion of Man, found in Hebrews 2, verses 5 through 9. And you can see there that I've divided this passage into three topics. Dominion to man given at creation. But that dominion to man was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. But then that dominion to man has been regained, namely through Jesus Christ and his redemptive death and resurrection, and will be seen when our Lord comes to the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords and rules. So we want to look at this passage from that, keeping in mind that the author of this book is showing how Christ is greater than the prophets and he's greater than the angels. And he starts off in verse 5 where he says, For he, that is the Father, God the Father, has not put the world to come. Now we live in the world that is. But he says, For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. Now it's possible that in God's sovereign creative will that the world to come here is the world that he was going to create that we read about in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth because there was a time when that world came to be, even before the angels existed. But it was not God's intent to even give dominion over planet Earth to angels, but to man. And God placed man on planet Earth to have that dominion, not angels, not Lucifer, not Satan, not any of the angels. And that is true in the future. In the new heavens and the new earth, that dominion will be centered in and through Jesus Christ. But he says, For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, and if you'll notice, you then are taken back to a quotation from the Old Testament, to a psalm. What's the psalm? Psalm 8. Now, I need to make a correction in the notes. It's my error that I sent to Roger, and which was then typed and then printed. Instead of Psalm 8, verses 1 to 3, it's Psalm 8, verses 4 to 6. Psalm 8, verses 4 to 6, just a minor correction there. But notice what the psalmist said. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Now that passage in Psalm 8 reflects what you have in Genesis chapter 1. And let me just take you back to Genesis 1 for a moment. Remember what God said. In Genesis 1, 26, it says, God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Isn't that interesting? God said, our, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. So God created man in his own image. So it can be either singular or plural there. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So it involves both Adam and Eve, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, that passage teaches you the immense dignity of man. Man has significance in this created world. It's because of God giving it to man. God made mankind lower than the angels. Yes, you have God, who is eternal, self-existent. God created angels. He created not an angelic race, because not all angels go back to a Mr. and Mrs. Angel at the beginning. Each individual created individually. But they are powerful, intelligent, strong, rapid. They are spirit beings. They do not experience death as you and I experience death when there's a separation of self or spirit from the body. Man is then lower. But man is over animals. Animals are lower than men and over plants. So there is an order in the creation as God planned it and made it. Now, it says here, we've been made lower than the angels, right? But you have crowned him with glory and honor, right? Because God gave to man the image of God. Let us create man, male, female, man, woman, male and female, equally as persons, created in the image of God, crowned with glory and honor. And because of that, man has dominion. He set him over the works. You put all things in subjection under his feet. Wow. So as you look at this, and compared with the one in Genesis then, you and I, because we are procreated from our parents, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, that the image of God in man has passed from Adam and Eve to their children, to Cain and Abel and Seth, and coming all the way down through your great-grandparents and grandparents, your parents, and to us. And when we had children, they were procreated. And all human beings, even though they are sinners, all human beings have honor and glory because they are made in the image of God. That's why in Genesis 9 is if you kill someone deliberately, first-degree murder, capital punishment, your life is taken. Life for life. Why? Because that person is in the image of God. People have lost that. But we share the image of God. We share dominion. God designed us to have proper relationships as male and female, as husband and wife, to have family, and to manage the resources that God placed within our environment, and to have fellowship with God. It was an ideal situation. But take a look at this. By the way, I'm going to take you just back for one. I want to have you turn to it. But in Psalm 8, verse 3, this is what it says. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? Right. That shows you some insignificance of man. Wow, you look at this great universe, and the more powerful our telescopes get, and we send off these missiles, these vehicles into space to explore. Wow, what's out there? And here you are, here am I, a little speck. It does seem like insignificance, and yet we do have significance. Because God made us in his image, and God has a plan. God wants to have fellowship with his created. But take a look. It says in verse 8 there at the end, he says, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, right, now, 2,000 years ago when the author wrote this book, and it's still the same today in 2016, but now we do not yet see all things put under him. That's right. Our granddaughter was with us this week, and she married a guy from the Bahamas, and just celebrated their first year of wedding, their anniversary. So they went down to the Bahamas, and he went out on a boat, and she went swimming with the turtle. She loves turtles. And they caught one, big turtle, put him in the boat, and she has a picture of her on top of them, just hugging this turtle. You don't do that with sharks. You know. When Jaws comes, you get out of there as fast as you can. You do not see yet all things put under him. Isn't that true? And what that is showing to us is that dominion was lost. And if I can come back to some of these concepts, man has lost control of himself. He's lost it to booze, alcohol, and drugs. He's lost it to pornography, what he sees and what he touches. He lost control of his marriage. There's not love and care, there's abuse. He's lost control of his family. This past week, I read Father Love, written by Eli Williams. Do you know who Eli Williams is from Urban Light Ministries in Springfield? Put up your hands if you do. You don't? Okay. He's on WEC Radio, I believe. He's a husband, father, ministry president, and co-founder of Urban Light Ministries in Springfield, Ohio. They sponsor weekly after-school programs that serves 800 children. They operate a growing fatherhood program that annually impacts over 500 dads. He's the CEO of Fatherhood Ohio, a foundation that raises awareness. This book is dealing with absent fathers and the problems that it's created in our society. And the millions and millions upon dollars that we as taxpayers pay in one way or fashion because someone is not doing his position. Absent love. And what we need here is father love. That's what he says. Every child needs a father. Interesting read by Eli Williams, Urban Light Ministries out of Springfield. We have this problem today, don't we, with our environment, abusing, exploiting the environment. God called us to be managers and stewards. Now, Gloria, my dear wife here, is from the West Coast. She's from the Northwest, from Washington. A lot of her family were lumberjacks. And a lot of people say, you know, don't use paper. Baloney. Paper is a renewable resource. And out there they have these magnificent Douglas fir trees, and they've got in second, third generation growth. They cut them down there, and it's just like planting squash. Tomatoes, you know. Use them up one year, plant them up, and that type of thing. And so the thing is, you can go, you know, tree huggers are okay. Don't cut the big giant sequoia, you know. But you can cut trees down and then replant them. And, of course, relationships have just fractured. Why? It's because of the entrance of sin. What's the problem within the world? We just had one convention. We're going to have another one tomorrow, sorry to say. Do you think the conventions are going to solve our problems in the United States? No. Uh-uh. I just read another book this week by Mark Levin called Plunder and Deceit. And what's going to happen to the young generation and their children as the debt keeps piling up and all these problems. Wow. You and I are of a generation where we're probably going to get more out of Social Security than we ever put in. But that's not true. Somebody starting off at 20, 21. You just wonder how it's going to weaken our country going forward. But anyway, that's another issue. But we need a positive note. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus. If you look at the situation, it's bad. It looks hopeless. It looks helpless. Who in the world can do it? Trump or Clinton? No. But we see Jesus. But we see Jesus. Now notice what he says. Who was made a little lower than the angels. Right. God, the eternal Son, did not become an angel to die for the sin of angels. There are no angelic evangelists. When Lucifer and those angels that followed him rebelled against God, when Lucifer said, I will be like God, he then fell from that created estate, became Satan, the adversary of God. No opportunity for repentance or salvation. Confirmed forever in a state of unholiness to await the judgment of God in eternal lake of fire. Christ did not come to die for angels. He came to die for what you see on television, what's in the paper, of mothers killing their children, husbands killing their wives, wives killing their husbands, people going in with their AK-47s and shooting up malls in Munich, Germany, ramming their truck down a promenade in Nice, France. Wow. He came to die for those people. Because no legislation could ever change the situation. Notice it goes on to say, he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He came to suffer death. God, being God, can't die. God is self-existent. But God, the Son, took to himself a perfect and complete human nature through Mary. And as the God-man, experienced suffering. Experienced rejection. He suffered for you and for me. He goes on to say, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Our glory and honor as human beings comes because God created us in his image. But I think this crown and glory that Jesus is talking about, because of where it's found in the grace of God, connected with the suffering, I think is what Jesus was talking about in John 12. And I just want to take you just for a moment there. I want to read what Jesus said. In John 12, verse 23, during his last week on earth, Christ said this, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The Lord was going to gain a glory that he never had before as the eternal Son of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. That's the glory of wheat. That's a glory of plant, of seed in the ground to produce crops. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then the Father said, I have glorified it, I think, during our Lord's earthly life, and I will glorify it again through his death and resurrection. Our Lord was crowned with glory and honor, and then that he, by the grace of God, he manifested the grace of God. Michael, we thank you for those hymns that just elevated God's grace. God doing for us what we did not deserve. We deserve judgment, just like the angels that rebelled against God. All of Adam's race, because we all go back to one pair. By God, for by grace are you saved through faith. Say it with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Can absentee fathers be saved? Yes. Can those who violate their marriage vows through adultery be saved? Yes. Can rapists be saved? Yes. Can murderers be saved? Yes. Yes. Can children in Sunday school get saved? Yes. Yes. Notice what it says, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Folks, he died for all. There is no one who is not outside. There's no one who is outside of the reach of God's magnificent redemptive grace. And we can pray for them. We can reach out and witness. And isn't it something that through Christ, through his creative redemptive program, we can become the people we should be, we ought to be. We can become the husbands we need to be, men. We can become the wives we need to be, and the grandparents. We can become the parents and the grandparents and the children we ought to be. We can become better managers of what God has entrusted to us. And we can become godly, Christ-like persons. Somehow to say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I glory in him, and I glory in what he has done. Because of what he's done in my life. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, thank you for coming on out on this hot evening. It says the heat advisory doesn't expire until 8 o'clock. These weather guys are wrong. I'm sure it's going to go to 8:05 or 8:10 at least. Until the sun is down and it's dark. So, let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we do pray again for this Mr. Fritz and the family and for those others that were mentioned by Roger. Our Father, there are so many needy people. Minister to them. Strengthen us in our faith and our trust. And help us, our Father, to become more Christ-like as we see him through the Word. And in this wonderful book of Hebrews, may we see him elevated, and may we adore him and worship him and love him in a greater way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday, last Sunday in July.